Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and today we'll visit with Dick Zondag of Jung Seed Company in Randolph, Wisconsin. And he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today to talk about what's going on in the garden. And with me right now, Judith Sears-Poisson.
Hello, hello.
Hi there. We're in the half, our half the time pledge drive. That is such an awkward thing to say. Half the time pledge drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're cutting our fall pledge drive down from 12 days to just 6 days. Your pledge right now, very important because listener contributions make up more than a third of our budget.
It might be hard to say, but it's very easy to be a part of. You can help make this short fall drive a success. Help us raise the money we need in just half the time. Your gift of $50, $100, whatever amount you choose makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, our goal was, what was our goal last hour?
660,
and we got 52, so we were just eight short.
But 27 were new members, so we love that.
So that's great, yeah. This hour, we have a goal of 60, and we can make that.
Absolutely.
We don't have any yet. No one has called in yet.
It's a clean slate.
It's a clean slate, but I tell you what, you can change that for us. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000, so if you contribute $100, it actually turns into $200. It's a generous challenge offered by the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. I love those folks. Their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, I know from setting up guests and arranging for them to be on the show, we get such great guests on the Larry Mueller Show and on WPR in general because the guests know that all of you out there will ask great questions and they won't be interrupted by commercials either. Your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable part of our budget. Thanks in advance for making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, but we have an added incentive for your good deeds. We have something very special for you, don't we, Judith?
We do. You can receive a seed packet when you donate any amount. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Be sure to ask for the seed packet, specifically Grandpa Jung's Garden and Bouquet Mix Seed Packet, as your thank you gift when you give any amount today.
I'm going to ask Dick about that. In just a moment, we'll be talking with Dick Zondag about gardening. I'm going to ask him about that seed packet. But discussions like this are really only possible because of your financial support. So I hope you will give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Like Larry said, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 in effect right now offered by the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. So that means your gift of 50 turns into 100. 100 turns into 200. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. Get your pledge match dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
To provide great radio, we need to pay the bills, and we count on listeners just like you to help. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's quick, it's easy, you'll be finished in no time at all. Consider a donation of $60 or $120. That's about a dollar or two a week. Your contribution in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps make WPR possible.
Our challenge is in effect. Your pledge now is doubled. Help us out right now at WPR.org. Or calling 888-202-2552.
Don't forget, it's our half-the-time pledge drive. It's a short fall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. Your donation helps make it a success and helps prove that we can do this in half the amount of time. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for a seed packet with your pledge of any amount. You'll have great blooms next spring and summer to enjoy. Pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We had a caller say, I moved to a small town for my job and my best friend for the first few months was my radio. WPR gave my life a measure of consistency in a new, sometimes lonely place. Don't let us be lonely today. Give us a call, 888-202-2552, or donate now at WPR.org. And thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And thanks to Dick Zondek for joining us. Dick, great to see you again.
Yeah, good morning, Larry.
Wonderful to have you. Wonderful to have you back. Things are busy at the Jungs.
Things are going just fine. We're in the midst of one of our promotional weekends as well as yours. We're doing our Jung Dollar weekends in the Garden Center. So, you know, people that have bought stuff from us before have received Jung Dollars, and now we cash them in. So, you know, it's going to
be a busy
weekend at the stores too. So, but you know, the tulip bulbs are in and the daffodils are in, and they're on their way to the customers now. And time to get them planted too.
Time to get them planted as well. You know, the seed packet. I wanted to have you talk about that seed packet that we.
Well, it's a formula mix that we have, and we put in seeds that are pretty easy to grow from seed, so that you don't have to start them before you plant them out. You just make a row in the garden, and you plant the seeds directly in the soil. And it has things like zinnias and marigolds and nasturtiums and things that just come up and blossom at different times, so that there seems to be something in blossom at all times during the summer. So it's just kind of a nice little mix of different annuals that you know, are sure to give you some cut flowers too, you know, if you want to bring some in as a bouquet, or you know, they just you know, it's just a nice little mix of different annuals.
Perfect. Well, Lee in Phillips has a question for you, so let's go to Lee. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. This is a question in regards to some collected seeds from this fall.
Okay.
I've collected Blazing Star and Daylily Mixture from the pods.
Right.
And I'm wondering what to do with them now.
Okay. Well, what you do is the daylilies don't have any dormancy, so you can just keep those and then start them probably in late February or March using a soilless soil mix like Jiffy Mix or something like that. And once they start, then you transplant them into a soil that has about a third sand, a third garden soil, and a third peat moss. And then you plant them out after the danger of frost is gone. The Blazing Star, you can actually start those outside, or you can actually start them maybe a few weeks later than the daylilies. And I'm not sure that those will blossom, or the daylilies for sure won't blossom the first year. But the Blazing Star, there may be a possibility that late in the summer you'd get a spike out of them.
All right. And what's the chances of using them as either open ground planting or ditch planting? Do you still have to pre-start those?
Blazing Star, no. The daylilies... boy, you can try it. I mean, daylilies do self-seed themselves. They do go out into the wild, but they're going to be more reliable if you get them started earlier. But if you know, if you want to just throw them out, it may take a year or two for them to come up if you're just doing it in the wild.
Okay.
Okay.
And an additional question about columbine.
Sure.
I have some that have sprouted up over the summer,
right,
in a fairly large area,
right,
and now they're only 3 or 4 inches tall,
right.
How do I prepare them so that they can come up in the spring, or so that they have a chance of living through the winter?
When the ground freezes, that would be in late November or early December. Put about 4 or 6 inches of hay, straw, marsh hay, not leaves. You don't want to use leaves. Leaves don't make a good mulch. But just something that will keep them from freezing and thawing in the wintertime.
Okay.
And once the soil is cold or frozen, you just put the mulch on. And the mulch tends to keep things the way they are. And so it will keep the soil cold underneath it so that the plants are vernalizing, and then next spring. If you're putting 6 inches, I would take some of it off, and away they go.
Okay. Can you use pine boughs for that?
Pine boughs would work too, but then you'd want to take them off in the springtime.
Earlier, yeah. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. On our Facebook page, Barb had a question. I've been keeping seeds in the fridge for the next year. Is it a good idea? Do they keep forever?
It depends on what kind of seeds you're keeping in the fridge. If you're trying to vernalize something like a tree seed or something that has a dormancy factor, you have to put them in a moist sand or in a sand and peat mix with some water in, because in order to overcome the inhibitors that are in those seeds, you have to get the seed imbibing some water first. But most seeds, especially the vegetables and the flowers, if you just keep them dry, they'll stay. You know, they'll keep germination for years. You don't have to put them in a fridge.
There we go. And another Facebook, actually several photographs from Phil, who has a few photos of his Nyssa sylvatica grown on their farm in McHenry, Illinois, and seed collected in '92 from the Longenecker Gardens at the Arboretum in Madison. Under the strong suggestion of Dr. Ed Hasselka, so I'm sure you know Ed.
Yeah, Ed was my professor.
Yeah, and Dr. Michael Durr once remarked that fall color on all northern deciduous trees is rated against the tupelo.
And hardiness, too. I'm surprised that they're as good a looking if those trees are from the arboretum. But, yeah, they do have a great fall color, but that particular seed probably has a dormancy factor that has to be overcome. And so that's the way we used to do it when we raised tree seeds in the greenhouse is we'd collect the seeds in the fall, and if I think Nyssa doesn't have a pulpy type fruit, it's just a seed inside a capsule. But then you just put them in a peat and sand mix and moisten it, and then put it in a refrigerator right next to the freezer. The temperatures at which this after ripening takes place is between 28 degrees and 35 degrees. You don't want to put them in a freezer because it's too cold and it doesn't work. But you can't leave them in a you can't leave them in a refrigerator because it's not cold enough. So. It can be done in a garage, too, where you can put them in the garage. And then you just take that seed and sprinkle it in your garden in a row, and then the seeds should start coming up.
Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company in Randolph, Wisconsin, our guest on this edition of Garden Talk. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or even a photograph right there. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller with my guest Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company. Kathy in Oshkosh has a question for you, Dick. So let's go there. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. We have magnolia, and it has done very well. Unfortunately, it now blocks a window, and we want to move it about 5 feet.
Okay.
Can this be done?
Well, what I would do right now is, does it have to be moved this fall?
It would be preferable, but I think we can wait.
Well, what I was going to suggest is that you take a shovel and dig around the plant right now.
Okay.
Cut some of the roots that are going out beyond where the shrub is.
Okay.
And then cover the soil with a mulch so that the soil stays warm so it will grow some new roots inside that root ball. We do that with the bigger plants that we have in the nursery. We undercut them so that the roots stay in that root ball area. And then next spring, move it. But if it has to be moved, the plants are completely dormant now and they can be moved. The one problem with magnolia is that it has a very fleshy root system, and so you want to take as large of a ball of soil with that plant as you can. They're not the easiest thing in the world to transplant when they get big.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. John in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, John.
How do you do? I have another magnolia question.
Okay.
We have a yellow magnolia.
Okay.
And we had it about 2 years ago, we planted it. But the problem that we're having is that the deer are eating the buds off before the spring opening.
Right.
Is there anything we can do to hopefully chase the deer away or to keep them away from the buds until we're able to enjoy the flowers?
I think one of the times I was on NPR, I said a shotgun works really
good.
But then we had some negative comments about three or four calls later. So,
you know, if we weren't in the city limits, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. There you go.
There are deer repellents that you can spray the plant with after the danger of rain is gone. So like in November, late November, early December, you want to get a spreader sticker. It's a product that makes the chemical stick to the plant. Some of the deer repellents have spreader sticker in them. There's one called Deer Away. There's one called Ropel. There are several of them. They have a combination of naphthalene in them. They have tobacco dust and dried blood and garlic juice and things that make the plant taste bad to the deer.
Okay.
So I guess that would be my recommendation is when it starts to get really cold outside. In fact, we used to do that in the nursery. They would use hot water because the freezer, the can that we used to spray would freeze up otherwise, and then go out and spray the bases of the plants so that the mice and the deer and stuff wouldn't do it. So there are lots of different products on the market that have deer repellent in them, and then just see if they've got a spreader sticker that you can mix with it, and then wait until late November, early December, and that should... And it seems like if you do that a couple of years or 3 or 4 years in a row, you train the deer that plant tastes bad, and then they eat your neighbor's magnolia.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, John. Annabelle in Madison, we are turning to you now. Hi, Annabelle. Annabelle, are you there? Oh, where is she? We lose her? I guess we lost her. Oh, well, let's see. Let's try it once more. Annabelle, are you there? Oh, we lost her. All right, let's go to Judy in Grafton. Hi, Judy.
Hi there. I'm doing a lasagna garden this fall, and I'm having trouble defining what is green and what is brown. I know my grass clippings are green and the dried leaves are brown. I've got the cardboard layer down, and I'm putting green on it. But, you know, in one of the articles I read, they suggest manure. Is that green or brown?
Well, I think manure is brown, but you need some of that brown stuff that the nutrients are, you know, that have the nutrients that will decompose the grass clippings and things like that. So, you know, I would use a little bit of that, maybe not a big layer of it, but the microorganisms that decompose the cellulose that's in the grass clippings and those things that are green needs some nutrients so that the amount of mycelia, the amount of the organisms that do the decomposition have something to grow with. So,
okay.
I don't think manure would hurt anything, and manure itself is an excellent soil building
sure.
thing. So,
okay.
Yeah, I would go ahead and use it.
What about if I pull out my plants? They cut down my perennials, et cetera,
sure.
that have turned brown. Are they now brown or green?
They're green. I mean, they were green at one time, and what's left is basically the structure that held the chlorophyll. So I would think anything that was green at one time would be legal to use because, you know, we at home will mow up the leaves that fall off and put them in a compost pile, and mm-hmm. we layer it basically the same way and then add nutrients to the pile, and they make excellent compost.
And what if I had sprinkled some of that compost microorganisms that I put in my compost pile onto this lasagna? Would that help to break it down?
Yes, it would. Yeah, mm-hmm. because those microorganisms that do the decomposition of the cellulose are at work on anything that lived.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling, Judy. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Richard in Duluth, Minnesota next. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Good show you got going here.
Thank you.
I've been making apple cider this year, and I have a lot of leftover pulp.
Okay.
Can I use that for a mulch on my tulip bed or on my garden, or is it good for anything, or should I get rid of it? Or
it will make excellent compost. I'm not sure that it wouldn't attract, you know, rodents and things in because you've got all the juice that's left over and stuff. I think rather than using it as a mulch, use it as a layer in your compost pile.
I see.
That's what I would do with it rather than using it as a mulch. I think it would be attract not only the rodents, but I think bees and things like that would be attracted to it also. So I would, you know, mix it with the leaves and the grass clippings that you're putting in your compost pile and decompose it that way. I mean, there's excellent cellulose in there, and it would make good compost, but using it as a mulch, I don't think it would do much for the soil. So just mix it with the things that you're going to try to compost this fall, and I think that would be a better use of the pulp that's left over from apple cider.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Got back to our Facebook page for a minute. We have Maddie has a photograph of a mint plant. She said, I've had it since August. It's been in a south-facing window with enough light. I've been watering it regularly. My begonia and basil plants are on the sill and doing great. But last month, the mint developed a white pellet-like coating, not bugs, not dust, and it has been slowly dying ever since. Any ideas on that, Dick?
You probably have an insect. It's probably mealybug. I don't see, you know, from the picture, it's hard to discern. You know, if you had a close-up of those little things. But what I would try on them is a fingernail polish remover. If you touch, you know, put a Q-tip in fingernail polish remover and touch those, if they kind of shrivel up, it's mealybug. And I wouldn't keep them close to anything else because those insects will jump into the other things too. With the mint, because it's a perennial and because it have buds underground, what you can do is completely cut all of the foliage off the top of the plant and get rid of it, because that would get rid of a lot of the insects.
Sure.
And start the plant over again.
Yeah, that makes very good sense. Dick Zondag, our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson joining us once again. We're in the Half the Time Pledge Drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for in-depth discussion of the issues, and we count on you to keep that discussion strong. And that makes your financial contribution very, very important.
It's very important. And with your help, we'll reduce a 12-day drive successfully down to just 6 days. Successfully is the key word there. Every gift makes a difference right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000, and we met that. We've gone over that, and I want to thank the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association who donated the dollars for that. It's very much appreciated. But we still have a ways to go because we have 19 callers who have pledged, and we still have 41 more to go to reach our goal. We do that with your support. Give us a call right now at 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Every week, we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes and mine and Larry's, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in lawns, trees, vegetables, native plants, and more. And others, like Dick Zondag, are the heads of large nurseries and have been in the business longer than they might care to admit. Support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can receive Grandpa Jung's seed packet as a thank you gift for your pledge of any amount. And Dick Zondag, tell us again about that packet.
Well, it has seeds in it that easily germinate when they're planted directly in the garden. So it's not something that you have to start. So once you've worked your garden up, if you want to have a row of flowers in your garden and you want to get surprised at what's in there,
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised, right. You just plant the seeds in the furrow and cover it up, and then you get things like zinnias and marigolds and nasturtiums and coneflowers. I think there's some coneflowers
Sounds
in
great.
There. So there's a
beautiful.
A lot of different things that blossom over a long period of time, and they'll give you some are good for cut flowers, and others are just nice in the garden.
And you can, for any amount, any contribution, we'll send you a packet of those seeds at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of you tell us that you remember listening to WPR as a child. And others of you with little ones today tell us that your kids really latch on to certain programs, whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, a piece of classical music, or laughing along with the weekend shows.
WPR caught your imagination as a child, and it engages the minds of kids today. That's powerful. And you make it all possible when you participate as a member. So please give now at WPR.org. Or calling 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, when I was in the booth screening calls during the last segment, Carol called and said that when we're asking people to pledge their support, she feels like she's rooting for the team. Let's make that goal. So join Carol, and she already has renewed her membership. So thank you, Carol. We'd like to thank you for your membership, too, when you go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before, think about the fact that WPR was here for you because somebody else took that step from being a listener to being a contributor. Today, we're asking you to take that step to join other members by making a contribution of your own.
Your gift ensures that the programs like this one are available for you and also for the next person to discover. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As you might have heard, it's our Half the Time Pledge Drive. It's a short fall drive, and it's our most important drive of the year. Just 6 days instead of 12. It's daring, but your donation will help make it a success.
And be sure, oh.
Go ahead.
You were going to say something.
I was going to say, give now.
Yeah, give now.
At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We get so excited here. We're just jumping all over each other here. Ask for the seed packet, by the way, with your pledge of any amount. Just pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Dick Zondek for joining us. Great to have him here. He comes by every so often to talk with us. It's always a great pleasure. Certainly, you can join in with your questions or comments as well. All our lines are filled right now, so let's get to those phone lines. Sarah in Madison, your turn. Hi, Sarah.
Hey. We are looking for a solution for our arborvitae along our lot line. We have some great arborvitae back there, but they got totally destroyed by rabbits last winter, and I'm wondering if there's anything we can do to prevent that from happening again this winter.
I think that rabbit and deer repellent that we talked about earlier would help you. It's a chemical or a juice that a mixture of different things that you apply to the plant after the danger of rain is gone, so that the rain won't wash it off. And it does make it bitter or makes it taste poorer. And so you've got to cover the plants pretty, so that you're covering the whole thing so that you don't leave them unprotected. But I think that would help you out. The problem is that when rodents and things like that are really hungry, they're going to eat almost anything. So the other thing that you could do if they're small arborvitae is put a physical barrier there, to wrap chicken wire around them so that they can't get at them. That would be another solution when they're small. But it's a real problem.
Would a burlap wrap around the base of them work?
The problem is if they get underneath the burlap, that makes a very nice home for them to live in all winter long. So I think something that they can't get into, it would be better, but it would have to be a single layer of burlap too, because evergreens need to have that sunlight. So just a single layer of burlap, if you're going to try to cover them with burlap, is what I would do.
Mm-hmm. There you
go. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Linda in Iron Belt. Hi.
Hi, guys. Okay, I have three quick questions. First one is, I harvested seeds from lupines and columbines this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Plant them now or next spring?
No, now is the time to put them in because they will then imbibe the moisture that's in the, you know, that's coming down and will. And I'm not sure whether either one of those or both of them need a dormancy treatment. It seems to me that they do. Even if they don't, they're not going to get injured by it.
Okay.
And then they'll be fine. They'll germinate next spring.
Okay. Also, is it the time? Is this true to cut down hostas, daylilies, and peonies?
Yes. The plants are pretty much dormant now, and they're not going to grow. And so if you want to get rid of the tops that are there, now a lot of people will leave them on because the having something above the ground will also drop the snow around them. And snow is the best kind of mulch that you can get. So, you know, if you don't need to get rid of the tops, a lot of people will leave the tops on just for the snow trapping that it does.
Okay. And gladiolas. I didn't get them planted this year. Can I keep the bulbs or no?
No, the bulbs are probably toast.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. Hey, thanks, guys.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, Linda. Brian in Manchester, Iowa, it is now your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm a first-time sustaining member now.
Oh, thank you so much.
I had a couple of quick questions pertaining to container gardening and bulbs.
Sure.
First one is, I like to plant in very unusual things. And I've got a couple of, wine glasses that are, you know, like the big, what I guess are more considered like a brandy snifter. And I'm wondering if that's going to be enough soil to support one of the smaller bulbs.
The problem with any kind of a container that doesn't have a drainage hole in the bottom is you really have to be careful when you're watering. If you're going to use a brandy sniffer, what I would do is get some pea gravel and put maybe a half an inch to an inch of pea gravel in the bottom and then kind of watch that so that if there's water in there, don't water it. And then put your soil on top of it, especially with bulbs because bulbs have a lot of carbohydrates in that structure. If they're sitting around with their feet in water all the time, they're very susceptible to rotting. Where if you've got a container that the water drains away, they'll do much better. So, you know, it's just going to take a lot of extra work to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about fertilizing? If they're going to be in a container and they're not going to be outdoors, when I'm mixing the soil to put it in the container, can I use a slow-release fertilizer, or am I better just waiting until the spring when they start to bloom?
No, you can use a slow-release fertilizer. I don't think I would put as much as the package recommends, though, because what happens with most of those slow-release fertilizers is every time you water them, some of the fertilizer is released, but you also get some of the water that drains out of the pots, and so some of that fertility gets out the bottom of the pot, too. So I would say about half of what they recommend for the slow-release fertilizers, and then just a half-strength fertilizer if you're going to put some on the top. And then as the plant is growing, just watch the color of the plant. If it's a nice dark green or the color that it's supposed to be, I would go a little lighter on the fertilizer. But if you start to get yellowing in the leaves, then you want to add a little fertilizer.
Okay.
And should I water those small container gardens over the winter, or just plant them and just forget about them until spring?
No, if you are planting bulbs, now you're talking about planting tulips and crocus and stuff like that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you've got to have some moisture there because what those bulbs do, even though they're not growing outside, is because the soil doesn't freeze, their roots are active. And so the roots will be growing all winter long, and if they're indoors, you're going to get root growth in there, so you've got to keep that soil not wet, but moist enough so that the roots don't dry out.
There you go.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. I love the show and appreciate the help.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Thank you very much for calling. And you can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Bert in La Crosse next. Hi, Bert.
Here. These two specimens don't have to be moved this fall, so I'm wondering what your suggestion is.
How big are they?
I have a mock orange, and it's about 30 years old, so it's very woody.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anything can be saved for that or if I should take a stem cutting and put it in the starting powder and, you know, try to get a new growth from that. What is your suggestion?
Well, mock oranges are one of the plants that are somewhat successful from hardwood cutting. So
they are.
That's one thing that you can try, you know, in your garden. Take some of the wood that grew this summer that's about pencil diameter.
Uh-huh.
And cut it so that there's a set of buds where the leaves came out of the tree about an inch below, above the bottom cut.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then you next spring or even right now you can put them in your garden and then cover them up with hay or straw.
Okay.
As far as the plant is concerned, a 30-year-old plant, the feeder roots are going to be a long ways away from the plant. So, as I mentioned to the other person, getting out there and digging around that plant, going down
that's
maybe a foot, cutting off any of the roots that you run into.
No, I really wouldn't want it. It's pretty misshapen in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that, would I cut the roots around that a Japanese lilac or Chinese or whatever it is, and try to move that?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
That's fine, too. Now, with the mock orange, too, if it's a very large plant and you want to keep it and you want to rejuvenate it, what you can do is near the ground, about 6 or 8 inches or a foot off the ground, cut about half of the stems that are there off this fall or early next spring before the plant grows, what you'll find is that there will be new sprouts coming out of those stumps.
Oh, okay.
And then the following year you cut the rest of them off and that plant will be brand new. It's called renewal pruning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the other question I want to know, how late can you move peonies in our zone, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and how deep do you put those pips?
Okay, you can plant them, you can transplant them any time up until the ground freezes.
Oh, really?
But if you do it really late, as soon as you plant them, you should mulch them in with a 6 or 8 inches of straw so that the soil stays a little warmer around them. If you want to dig half of the plant out, you just take a shovel and dig half of the plant out, and then the eyes should go about an inch to an inch and a half deep in the ground.
Okay.
Depending on the soil type that you have.
Okay, another thing came to mind, mums. These are northern mums, but were bought this year in pots. Is there a way of preserving them over winter by taking them out and putting them in the garden?
I wouldn't do that. I would cover them like you're doing with the peonies, with either soil or hay and straw to 8 inches to a foot.
Uh-huh.
I would say your chances, even with hardy mums, of getting them to come through is probably a third to a half at best.
Oh.
Yeah, even the ones that are planted in the springtime that grow in place through the summer, so they're established, depending on the winter that we have a rough time making it through because it's a Zone 5 plant.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dick Zondag, our guest today, president of the Jung Seed Company in Randolph, Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dick Zondag, our guest, and Maddie sent another picture on our Facebook page, and giving us a closer look at those little white things that she's got on her plants. What does it look like to you, Dick?
It looks pretty. I'm pretty sure that that's what it is.
Mealybugs.
Yep, and they're pretty persistent, and that little fuzz that they grow over them is a real good protective layer. I guess I would. You know what I would do is I would take a cutting off from that plant and make sure that it's free of those insects and throw the plant away.
Yeah, just
you know,
get
because
rid of it.
They are very persistent and they do.
They'll get into other plants.
Yep, they do act. Most plants are host plants for that.
Kathy in Stetsonville up next. Hi, Kathy.
Oh,
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you to Dick for the recommendation on stressing my apple trees with the baseball bat. It really worked. My trees were at least 10 years old, and I had no fruit. So a year ago, June, I did what he said. Nobody watching.
I was going to just ask you if you did it at night. So
no,
didn't
no. No, I actually had my 12-year-old son go out there with the bat because I thought, okay, you know, he's playing ball and nobody's going to know. And he hit him. I was there and watched, and he hit the trees. And I had apples this year like crazy. So I was.
So you know I'm not just.
And people, I would tell people this advice, and they just kind of looked at me like, you are out of your mind. And I said, no, I hit him with a baseball bat. Well, I got apples. I just wanted to say thanks.
Yeah, you show them who's boss, right?
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks very much for calling. Oh, that's great. You whack them. Whack him several times.
No, you asked Nathan about that when he was a kid. I used to whack him, too.
Oh, the son. Well, Mary in Green, well, we know you hit him with a baseball bat. We're okay. Mary in Green Bay, though, has a question about Trillium, I think. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. Years ago, Dick, I bought a lot of dry root Trillium from you, and they were lovely. And I have been very unsuccessful in transplanting them because I needed to change some spots. And the funny thing is that I have a flagstone patio, and they have planted themselves in the patio among the flagstones. And so what I want to know is how can I remove those that are in the places that I don't want them without killing the plant?
Right. I would do it right now. As soon as the tops die back, that's probably the best time to do it. They're the most dormant. The problem with Trillium is you have to dig them when they're dormant because they're called ephemerals. They're really tricky. And so as soon as the tops die back, dig them up and transplant them where you want to plant them. And then use the old 6 or 8 inches of straw on top of them just to make sure that they don't come out of the ground. And I think that would give you your best luck. By digging them in the fall, we freeze them over the winter, and we were able to make them fairly reliable for transplanting. So now's the time to do that. Either that or as soon as the soil thaws in the springtime so that they don't start to grow, because once they start to grow, then you can't transplant them.
There you go. Thanks, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. Judith Sears-Poisson joins us now. We're in our Half the Time Pledge Drive. This is your radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're raising money to pay for the commercial-free programs that you rely on.
And we're really taking a risk here. We're out on a limb, and I'm not going to ask Dick to tell us how to prune that limb because I'm afraid we might end up on the ground. But we're cutting a 12-day pledge drive down to just 6 days. 6 days for our biggest fundraiser of the year. You make it possible when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 60 pledges by the top of the hour. We have 37 in, so that means we got 23 to go, if my math is correct.
I think your math is right.
I think my math is right. Your pledge right now, you can be one of those 23. It helps us keep this program going strong and helps us keep the drive short. Only 6 days instead of 12. So make your contribution right now. Let's get over that 60 goal. Make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you might not have a life coach or a personal trainer or a master expert gardener like Dick Zondag on call, but that's okay. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And what's the cost to you? You choose. The Ideas Network is your affordable source for helpful information. It's a great deal. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love on WPR. Consider asking for a seed packet as your thank you gift when you give any amount or more, any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like that, any amount or more.
Yeah, any amount or, and I said, any amount, and I said, or more. Well, any amount.
Yeah.
What the heck does that mean?
Well, what, this is something I did not know, Larry, and I was so thrilled to hear this, that Master Gardeners can get continuing credit for listening to Garden Talk.
I knew that.
I think that's wonderful. That just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners, whether they're expert gardeners or novices. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you've been gardening your whole life or just starting now.
You know, we have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees or organic gardening or rose bushes or practically any gardening topic. Apply some fertilizer to the program right now. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We still have 23 to go.
23. If you listen to WPR on your way to work, say, or on your way home every day, and an hour or two each weekend, you're listening more than 700 hours a year.
Today, if you've never given before, we're asking you to consider a first-time gift of $5 a month. $5 a month for hundreds of hours of listening. That makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you're going to find anywhere. Please know, give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
The fall is when you cut your garden back, and we have pruned this pledge week. Hi, I'm Gene Purcell, and every gardener knows that fall is the time when lots of things need pruning. At WPR, we've decided to cut back our fall pledge drive. We've cut it down to just half of its size. 6 days of fundraising instead of 12. Can it really work? Sure it can, but only if you give today. Make our Half the Time pledge drive a success with your gift now.
And you can pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. We're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $50, or maybe it's $100, or maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, this hour, you can receive a great seed packet when you make a contribution of any amount. Your donation supports the programs you love and helps it grow. And you can also get that nice thank you gift with your pledge of any amount. Pledge now. Pick up Grandpa Jung's seed packet at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you felt that something was missing when you haven't been able to listen to WPR for a while because you're on vacation or maybe you're camping or just out of range. And then you know that great feeling when you can tune in again.
You hear some familiar voices and you know you're home. That's when you know that you've just got to have WPR in your life. The way to keep it there is to support it with your dollars. Please make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 20 pledges now in the next 4.5 minutes or so, or 5 minutes.
We can do it.
Yes. Yes, we can.
You can do it.
You can do it. Thank you if you've already given. If not, help us stay on track. Help make our Half the Time pledge drives a success by making your contribution right now. Oh, there's one. Comes in. Now we're at 19. We just need 19. Go to WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You know, the quality you hear in our programs reflects a big investment. NPR News, syndicated national programs like On Point and Talk of the Nation, and sophisticated broadcasting equipment all cost money.
Your financial support helps pay the bills that come with quality public radio. And help with those costs. Make your donation at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Ooh, only 17 more now, Larry.
Go.
We're getting close.
We're getting closer.
We all look for ways to economize with both our money and our time. Well, here's a way you can economize while supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Become a sustaining member, like that caller earlier said he had just done. Choose an amount that's right for you and have it charged monthly from your bank account or credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your pledge will renew automatically every year, so we won't need to send you renewal mailings, and that saves us paper, time, saves stamps. Give now. It's in whatever way is best for you at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552, down to 15.
Oh, 15. We can do it. What does making a pledge mean, really? A pledge is a promise, and we pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
Your financial support really helps pay the bills that come with quality radio. Help us now with those costs. Make your donation at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
Larry, we're still looking for 14 more pledges in the next, 2 minutes or so. Please help us out now. Give your promise of support, your pledge of loyalty to WPR by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's our half the time pledge drive. This is our short fall drive. It's 6 days instead of the usual 12. And your donation is going to make this a success. Give now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552, down to 11.
11, we can do it. And we are so excited to be able to offer you Grandpa Jung's seed packet. We think it's a great premium and a little thank you for you for your support of this show and all of the programming you appreciate on the Ideas Network and on WPR. You can pick up that seed packet by pledging now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is your chance to put in a vote for Garden Talk, for all of the great shows, Dick Zondag and all of the other great guests that support Garden Talk on Fridays. Vote for Garden Talk. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you. Great to have you with us on this edition of Garden Talk. We're visiting with Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Again, you can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question there. And as a matter of fact, Dan has posted a question on the Facebook page. It says, my daughter's getting married next late April. She wants fresh, not cut tulips for the wedding. Since I can't count on Wisconsin spring weather, I was going to plant 200 tulip bulbs in large tubs so I can move them inside and outside depending on the weather. You think that's going to work, Dick? Any tips?
Well, first off, you want to pick the varieties that force the easiest if you're going to try to do this. And if you're going to try to do it with ones that you planted outside, I would be using the single lates because they're the they're the ones that would be closest to that time frame. If you're going to force them, the single earlies are the ones that are the easiest, and the triumph tulips are the easiest to force. And I guess what I would say is you're just going to have to plant them right now. I would plant them, if you're putting them in tubs, probably so that there's about 4 inches of a potting mix. I wouldn't use soil in the tubs. I would use a peat-based soil. And then cover them with either put them in the garage or cover them with a foot of straw so that they don't freeze real hard. If you don't cover them with anything, the bulbs will probably die because the soil will get too cold. And then just start growing them when the weather gets outside. And you just have to take the tubs outside during the daytime and either cover them at night or bring them back in the garage. And I just kind of try to time them. It's really difficult because that's one of the questions, you know, some people will say, well, I'm getting married. I want to have this kind of flower. How do I time it so that I have them in bloom at the time of the wedding? And the problem is soil nutrients, the temperature, flowers will flower at different times depending on the day length. And so that's really hard to do. And so it's not the easiest thing in the world to time when plants will flower.
Eric in Upper Michigan, we turn to you next. Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is, I bought a house, and the previous homeowner planted Japanese knotweed as a border, and it's just gone out of control. Me and my wife, we've tried everything. We don't want to use herbicides because there's other plants in there, but we've dug up the soil and taken it out of there, and I guess we let it go for 2 years, and now it's come back stronger than ever. We're wondering if there was any help you could give us on getting rid of it.
Well, short of herbicides, the only thing that you can do is keep digging them through the summer so that they have to regrow. And by removing the plants that are there, They have to regenerate from pieces that are either left in the ground or that are dormant in the ground, which makes them grow even more. And then you take those out. And by keeping doing that over the period of time, the plants will be weakened and will not have as much energy going into the winter, and the winter will kind of take them out. Use the same principle with Creeping Charlie in your lawn right now using an herbicide. You weaken the Creeping Charlie, and it won't, you know, it won't kill the Creeping Charlie, because plants are going dormant now, and they kill the easiest when they're in rapid growth, but you weaken them enough that they don't have enough energy to make it through the winter. So, you know, short of using herbicides, you just got to keep digging them, and it may take a year or two or three to do that, because you just keep digging them and pulling them out when you see them, and then they grow more, and by doing that, they just don't have enough time to put reserves back into the plant so that they have the energy to make it through the winter.
All right.
I have another question. If somebody had told me to clear the snow off of them in the wintertime, does that help get the frost harder into the ground?
Yeah, because snow or mulch, and that's why you use snow or mulches, is to moderate the climate underneath them. And the freezing and thawing is another thing that you would get by having the ground bare. So that would also help. But if they're well established, it's going to be
miserable.
It's going to be a multi-year project.
Well, there you go. Good luck. Thank you very much, Eric, for calling. George in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, George.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. My question is about roses. You know, they're so, and you hear a lot of things, but growing them in containers and then overwintering the containers,
right.
Appropriate zoned roses, whether they be 4 or 5
right.
in the garage, and that, how would you go about that? Do you need a special mix for growing it? Or
there are a couple of things that you can do. If the container is large enough, you can put styrofoam on the inside, because the problem with containerized plants is that the root system of a plant is probably 20 or 30 degrees more susceptible to winter injury than the top.
Okay.
And so when a plant is in a container and exposed to the cold temperatures, the root mass freezes a lot harder, because when it's in the ground, the only cold temperature it gets is from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
For containers, you either want to tip them over and cover them with, in our nursery, we use microfoam, which is a styrofoam that's welded to plastic. We cover them with a layer of styrofoam, and that keeps them from freezing and thawing. But you could lay the containers over so the plants are on their side, and then either cover them with hay or straw or some type of a barrier.
Yeah.
Or put them in the garage and put a blanket around them so that, you know, the blanket does the same thing. It acts as a mulch. It keeps the plant from freezing and thawing. So I guess that's what I would do if the containers are easily moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they are. And you would treat it, if you wanted to grow a rose tree, you treat it then the same way?
Exactly, yep.
Yep.
Tip the plant over and cover it with a mulch, or put it in the garage and cover it with 2 or 3 blankets. Just the pot. The top is perfectly hardy. It's just the pot, the root system, that has to be protected.
And one last thing. Those columnar apples, adjuncts, they look fabulous. Are they as good as they look?
Yes, they are. I mean, if you want to espalier a tree... you know, they're very easy to do that, because they grow straight up.
Right.
They don't form a crown like most apple trees. The apple tree will only get like 3 to 4 feet wide if you just plant it out and let it grow.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, I'm going to have to try some at the spring sale. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Heather in Oconto, hello to you.
Hi, I got 2 questions around fruit trees.
Okay.
One is, what's the latest that you recommend planting apple trees? And the second is, I'd like your opinion on dwarf versus standards.
Okay, the latest, I mean, if they're potted trees, you can plant them right up until the ground freezes. But then again, I would mulch them in so that the roots have a chance to establish. Best time to plant apple trees is bare root trees in the springtime, because that way they're growing totally in the soil that they're growing in. They don't have that rich soil mass where the roots are growing in, and then they're trying to blast their way out of it. But if you're planting a potted tree, you can plant it any time up until the ground freezes.
Okay.
Standard versus dwarf. The dwarf trees are going to fruit about 2 to 3 years earlier than a standard tree because of the rootstock that it's on. You won't find anybody in an orchard situation that will plant anything but dwarf trees, because you get more trees per square acre, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
In a home situation where the yards are smaller, the dwarf fruit trees are by far the choice. The semi-dwarfs and the dwarfs that we sell, the semi-dwarfs will be about 60% of what a standard tree, and the dwarfs will be about 40% of what a standard tree are. They're just easier to maintain. They're easier to spray. If you're going to spray them, they're easier to pick the fruit. The size of the tree more fits in a home situation than a standard tree. Standard trees will get 35 to 40 feet high and about that much in diameter if you just let them grow.
Mm-hmm. There you
great.
Go.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Don in Woodman, your turn. Hi, Don.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Great, thank you for calling.
Well, I called because I had some strange results, and I wanted to see what your opinion was on it.
Okay.
We planted some Bantam sweet corn, and the stalks are more purple, as much purple as they are green.
Okay.
But they get 3 feet tall, and a few of them are like 2 feet tall, but still had a full-size ear on.
Right.
But one stalk, if you want to call it a stalk, all it was an ear of corn and a tassel sticking out of the ground, and it was a full-size ear, and I thought that was rather strange. Maybe
well, we Bantam is an open-pollinated corn. You know, you plant out Bantam corn and you pick the best ears or the ears that look like they're the most like Bantam, and those are the seeds that you use for the next year's crop. And so you get a lot of variation in open-pollinated seeds. And so the ear without any stalk and a ear and a tassel is very unusual.
Oh, did you get a picture of it?
I wish I would have.
Oh, you should have.
Yeah, that would have been
I thought it'd be great to maybe breed up some kind of something to make
a bush corn,
right?
Stalkless corn.
I had another really unusual result. I planted some giant rice and garlic.
Okay.
Each bulb had 3 cloves, and I didn't get that kind of result, but I wanted it. Most of the bulbs came back very small compared to the seeds, and they had usually 5 cloves to
right.
each one, but I planted 200 of them, and I got 2% or 4 bulbs came up that were completely spherical, had no cloves at all. They were just like an onion, only without the layers.
Right, right. And what happens is with garlic, because we have such a short growing season, some of the garlics tend not to get large enough in 1 year, and so what I usually recommend with some of these garlics is if you're seeing something like that where you get one large bulb or where you're getting 2 or 3 cloves per bulb, just leave them in the ground for another year, and then the bulb will form a normal garlic. So it may be that that variety has too long of a maturity for Wisconsin or, you know, that area, and then you just leave them in the ground for another year, and next year they will look just fine.
I have a kind of a warning. I transported some really 10-year-old composted cow manure and put all over the garden, and I had a real problem with an exotic thistle that I've never saw before. I think it's possibly from transporting hay across country during drought and so forth, but they are mature at about 15 inches high. They have a yellow, small yellow blossom about the size of a dandelion, and I fought for this year. I only had a very few, but the last 2 years I've had to pull them out by literally by the dozens. And so
I think that's a south thistle.
I've never saw one. I'm pretty familiar with Wisconsin's thistles.
Okay.
I've never saw them before at all.
Okay. Well, that's one of the problems with manure, you know, that you get the weeds that were fed through the hay, and so you've got to be, vigilant, I guess.
Yeah, compost. It's got to be composted very, very well.
Otherwise, you're gonna... I know the farmer told me it had been there for 10 years, and so it had really composted a long time, but right. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Dick Zondag, our guest today, president of the Jung Seed Company in Randolph, Wisconsin. Always great to have him along. Judith Sears-Poisson joining us now on the Ideas Network. And I tell you what, you hear topics big and small on this network. That's why you listen and that's why you contribute. Your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is crucial because we're having our half the time pledge drive, aren't we, Judith?
We are. You told us you wanted more programming with less on-air fundraising. Well, your wish is our command. We've cut this pledge drive in half from 12 days to just 6. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 30 pledges during this next 9 minutes or so. We've got two already. So we're looking for 28. We're looking for 28 contributions right now in the next 9 minutes. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs you count on. They helped us to reduce on-air fundraising by making this half-the-time drive a success. Thanks if you've already given. If not, give now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Dick Zondag here on Garden Talk. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more great hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I have to say that the first hour of the program, we did have a goal of 60 and we got 68 pledges.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks to everybody. And all of those people, I would bet, asked for a Jung seed packet as their thank you gift for their pledge of any amount. A wonderful seed packet that, as Dick said, lots of flowers and easy to grow. And he said that there'll be something blooming all season long.
Which is so nice.
That's really nice. Well, you pledge your support to the program and you can enjoy that thank you gift. That's a Jung seed packet blend for your pledge of any amount. Your pledge of any amount supports WPR programs at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I think we all know that daily exercise is an important part of staying healthy. Some of us are better at making that a part of the daily routine than others.
And you know what? By getting your daily mental workout, you can do that very easily when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape for thinking about issues and having great conversations. Sometimes my brain wanders around. I'm looking when I should be when I should be talking, like I was just a minute ago. But I'll tell you what, your gift, any amount, helps keep my brain and yours healthy at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
What's great is that you decide the amount of your pledge. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to support non-commercial radio. If you can, consider a gift of $1,000 or more.
Absolutely. Your gift of $1,000 is going to help pay for those who really can't afford to support WPR right now. We've had several people over the years give $1,000 and even more sometimes. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Do it right now with your pledge of any amount.
If you cut a novel in half, you'd miss the best part, the ending. But if you cut a pledge drive in half, you get the best part, more of the programs you rely on. For our Half the Time Pledge Drive, you get to write the ending. Will it be a success? We just don't know. But you can ensure WPR's happily ever after with your gift right now. Here's how to do it.
We'll be successful in our half hour. We've got 30 pledges to get. We have 28 to go. 28 to go in 5 minutes. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Listener support, big part of why this program is so important. I hope you'll make your donation now at WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs like the Larry Mailer Show that you love on WPR. And don't forget to ask for a seed packet as your thank you gift when you give any amount or more. That's a Grandpa Jung's seed packet, beautiful annual flowers. They'll be color in your garden all season long next year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted, like I sometimes do with the on-off switch of the microphone. I just take it for granted that's going to go on all by itself, and it doesn't do that.
It doesn't do that.
But I tell you what, you tune in to WPR, and each time you hear something good.
But if you travel around the country, you'll realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. We're proud of WPR, and you can be too. We hope you are, because you make it possible with your support.
Don't take it for granted. It's really something special. Help make it possible with your pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs you depend on, like Garden Talk, and help us raise those funds in just half the days of a normal fall drive, 6 instead of 12 for our most important fundraising drive of the year. We are still looking for 27 more pledges in the next 4 minutes or so. Please make yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Most of your choices for news, information, and entertainment come with a set fee, but Wisconsin Public Radio, we're not that way. We're different. You decide whether to give and how much to give.
But that means we need you to think about it and do it. Some people give $25 or $50. When you add all these gifts together, they're enough to keep WPR on the air. So you decide what Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you. Then give that amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your employer might match your donation. You could double the value of your gift to WPR.
And if you don't know whether your employer will match your gift, pledge now and then ask your human resources department the next time you get a chance. Pledge your support to this program and to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Becoming a sustaining member to WPR is truly giving the gift that keeps on giving. As a sustainer, your membership, it never expires. Your monthly donations and deductions come from your bank account or charges on your credit or debit card. They just keep going until you ask us to stop. Give that gift that keeps on giving at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Larry, we're still looking for 24 more pledges in the next 2.5 minutes. Please help us out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's our half the time pledge drive. It's a short fall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. Your donation helps make it a success. Please give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I know people appreciate the programming we do all week, but I also know that Garden Talk is especially popular and that people really appreciate it. We have a special Garden Talk gift for you today. You can ask for a Grandpa Jung's seed packet. It's a mix of annual flowers that you'll enjoy all next season with your pledge of any amount. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we had some nice callers who said WPR is a big part of our day. You're kind of part of our family, so we're happy to support you. What about you? Do you think WPR is kind of part of your day and part of your family? I sure hope so. And if you do and you want to put a vote in for Garden Talk and for this program, do it now by going to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
20 more pledges we need in the next minute or so. I know there are more than 20 of you out there listening. Please donate now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Let Larry know how much you appreciate the great shows that he gives you.
Again, that's WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Thanks to everybody who contributed. Please contribute right now.